Welcome back to another episode of Who Am I to Judge podcast. I'm Alexis.
And I'm Samantha. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. What's up?
Nothing. We were just talking about trying to figure out what to talk about and figuring out, you know, kind of how to give updates and I don't know, just like what we want to talk about in terms of like personal stuff. I feel like I don't know.
I mean, first, just give an update. How are you doing? Like, what's up with you? Then we can get into topics.
I am definitely very tired physically and mentally. Like, I feel like I've been, like I said, last week it was another 7-day week at the studio and another yoga teacher weekend. And so I'm physically moving and mentally doing a lot and working a lot. So today was my day off, and so I just slept a lot and just been relaxing. So yeah, that's my day. Just thinking about, you know, it's Monday, so I'm just like, the world is back awake and I have responsibilities and people calling me and shit. So yeah.
How are you? I get you. I know it's, I'm doing
Yes, how was
okay.
Your birthday?
My birthday was fantastic. I was telling Julia, like, I just kept saying, thank you so much for making my birthday, like, the perfect day. Like, it's exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I was extremely happy. Like, this is probably one of the best birthdays I've ever had, which is kind of, like, fun, you know, really amazing. And it just keeps getting better every year.
Why is that?
Because I did exactly what I wanted.
So
like,
walk
I feel
us
like,
through the day.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, I woke up. Julia made me, everyone knows I love biscuits. Julia made me a biscuit like sandwich with cheese on it. And then she put bacon and hash browns on the side. It was amazing. I didn't have to walk the dogs, right? So I was like an easy morning. Then I was a little pissed off getting to the massage place, but whatever, we got there. I get to the massage place and it was an amazing 1 hour foot massage, an amazing 1 hour back massage. I did the cupping, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. It hurt a little, but it was good. And then afterwards I took an Uber home. Julie took the dogs out for the lunch. So I didn't have to worry about that. Then I played my game. I played PlayStation for a while. And then me and her watched Monster and I ordered a chicken sandwich. She picked it up from the door. I didn't have to get up. I was laying downstairs in the basement. And then she brings it down. We continue to watch Monster. I eat. And then she walks the dogs for dinner. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't have to get up off the fucking couch. So then I'm like laying some more. And then finally it was time to get dressed. So I get dressed. We go to dinner with Annika and Courtney. Amani was supposed to come, but we're actually getting dinner this Thursday. And the food was amazing. Like, it was this, we went to Awash. It's this Ethiopian place in, I think it's Boreham Hill. And it was so good. And I had this, like, Ethiopian honey wine. And it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I literally told Julia, like, this is my, like, I mean, I love red wine. But, like, if I'm, like, going to, like, a Christmas party or something, I'm bringing this wine, Ethiopian honey wine. Because it's different. And it's, like, it's different enough that you're, like, oh, my God, this is, like, you know, a little delicacy or something. And then Julia left and me, Annika, and Courtney went to Ginger's, which is this lesbian bar. And they were having a drag show night. The theme was Renaissance.
Oh my God.
But not Beyonce Renaissance. Gotcha. Like, when I heard Renaissance first, I was like, hell yeah. I walk in, it's Renaissance Fair. People were dressed as jesters and had swords and shit. Like, you know?
Renaissance Fair.
Yes. And so then so we like got a drink at the bar, then we went outside, drank, talked. It was lovely. And then around like midnight we were like, all right, let's go, because everybody was tired. Mm-hmm. I took the subway home with Courtney. Mm-hmm. And then it was just lovely. And then I get home and I go to sleep and I was just like, this is exactly what I wanted. I did not have the energy in me to like host or act super happy, but in doing what I wanted, I was very, very happy. Mm-hmm. And then I got really good gifts. I got some shoes from Akilah and Aries. I got my watercoloring books from Julia, my watercoloring paint. I got like this really sweet note from Julia I put right here. Mm-hmm. I got some teas from Julia's mom and like this really pretty glass. I got a book from my friend Jimmy, who I love. And it was just the perfect day. Yay. And I was really happy. But then, I was really happy. And I, Yes, you're right. It can be chill. So like my birthday was great and today was good. I, you know, got back on the grind. I did my, you know, I reached out to people for networking. I applied to some jobs, updated my charts and stuff. And I need to do some stuff for employment, but I'll do unemployment, but I'll do that tomorrow. I registered for some, from some career fairs, some job fairs coming up. So I'm excited about those. Just getting in the grind. Yeah, you know, I did my normal thing, but it was interesting. And this is kind of a topic I want to talk about, like, but also I want you to like more so talk about like anything you want to talk about, but I think you can relate, but like, it's crazy how much unemployment can like make you feel like a degenerate. Like I literally was like saying that to, like, I always say that to Julie, I'm like, I'm a degenerate. She's like, no, you're not. But it's like, but it's like, it is interesting. Like the, like, what it can do to your mental when you're just like sitting at the couch, you know? And like, I mean, I prefer to do work on the couch, so maybe like that's something I need to fix and like start moving to the desk. But it's like sitting on the couch all day, like, you know, it's like I'm literally like, I'm a degenerate, I'm disgusted. Like, literally, I just be thinking those things. And Julia's like, yo, you did a lot today. And I'm like, yeah, oh, but yeah. I feel like it's like,
especially because I mean, I totally get the sentiment. I was just talking to Danielle because, I mean, I've talked to you about, like, the potential of moving back to my parents' house, like, right now. Yeah. While I'm in between, like, you know, I have a job, but it just doesn't pay what I need it to like, cover everything. Mm-hmm. So I've just been, like, you know, thinking about moving back home, like if that's even an option for me, like what would that look like? And yeah, I was just telling Danielle, I was just like, yeah, I feel like the narrative around it, or like, and sadly sometimes like what, not my mom, but like my dad, like might make the narrative around like, yeah, like you're 32, you need to get your life together, like you shouldn't be living at your parents' house right now. You know, like that, just like that type of thing. Like I definitely can relate to, you know, just like feeling like not where you're supposed to be, or just like, you know.
Absolutely. And like that's a really I like that you said that, because like just feeling like you're not where you're supposed to be, like I remember when I was getting my PhD and just being like, I can't wait for this to end so I can like get a job, make a lot of money, and like catch up to my peers who have been working for these past 5 years that I haven't. And I felt, I don't know, there's this like, I guess there's two things that I'm feeling. One is like, I did all that work to like now like not reap the benefits of it, you know, where it's like, I'm like did all that work for 5 years, like took a pay cut. Literally, hold on. Okay, I'm not picking up again. took a pay cut to then go. Like, you're pissing me off. Took a pay cut. Sorry. No, it was pissing me off. Shut her out. Took a pay cut to like not reap the rewards. Like, I'm now sitting here jobless and continuing like this gap of like income with my peers, because I still don't have, like, I'm now back to where I was at my fucking PhD. And just like, yeah, just feeling like, oh my God, like a concern of like, oh my God, this is not where I envisioned myself a year after, you know, getting my degree. This is not where I envisioned myself at all at 32 period, just being 33 period, just like being jobless. But then also just like a fear of like, will I ever make my financial goals? Will I ever like do the personal goals I want to do? Because right now it just seems sometimes like hopeless. You know,
I know, but it definitely, like, it's so funny because like obviously my perspective of you is just like, it's not going to be like that forever, like you'll be back in it, like you'll get a job and be doing what you want to do. Like, I feel like, first of all, there's so many people, as you know, that are going through unemployment. Like, it is definitely not a personal like a reflection on you personally, or any of these people personally. Like, it is just literally like from the government shutting down to just loss of the loss of government funding, and like your job was definitely affected by that and stuff. So yeah, like I feel like from that point, yes, but Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I get frustrated too, because I'm just like, our parents did not have this experience of like having to do this, you know, be 33. And like, I just feel like it was just easier to get into a career and there wasn't as much, I'm trying to think of the word. There wasn't just all this volatility in the workforce or in the economy. I feel like they were able to breathe for a couple of years. Like maybe they had like a couple of years of, you know, being really solid, and then, you know, oh, things got scary a little bit, but I don't know.
No,
I just feel like it's never been like this, like where you are having to move back in with your family. And like,
maybe if you were, like, I know, like, I mean, I think you're right, like in the sense of like, I mean, I feel like my mom always remarks, you know, each generation it gets more and more difficult to afford things. So like, I think that's absolutely true. And like, I do know at some point around this age, my mom did actually move back in with my parents, with her grandparents, well, with my grandparents, sorry, her parents, but it was, you know, after her initial marriage ended. But like, but regardless, I think your point still stands. But like, I also just am like, today I was reading the average age for a homeowner like back in the day was 32, and it like hit me, or 33. It was like, I think it was 33, because I was like, damn, that's the age I am now. And it was like, nowadays the average age for a homeowner is 56. And damn. I was like, and this could be completely wrong, maybe it's a false statistic, but I had saw it and it struck me, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, am I gonna ever be able to fulfill the dreams I have of like having a family, owning a place, like, you know, living comfortably. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I have to be wealthy, but like living comfortably, being able to go on a vacation if I want to, being able, you know, and things like that.
Afford the luxuries and of vacation,
you know, right?
Wellness and massages,
exactly.
And dinners,
exactly. And like, sometimes I'm obsessed with stay at home Upper East Side mother TikTok, like, because they all have like these,
so
like
funny,
luxurious apartments they own. They all have mansions.
Have to send me some of these.
Oh, I'll send you. There's one I love. They all have mansions in upstate New York, and you get to see them, and you're just like, oh my god, there's people living like this. Like, I'm not saying I have to have all that, but I just don't want to. I mean, I guess I'm really feeling like
you're
nervous,
so cute,
you know,
Alexis.
Being.
I know, but it sucks because you were the one that was telling me when we were like at Cody's wedding. So you're just like, we'll have our beach houses. Like, it'll happen.
You have to speak into existence, and it's hard.
Yeah. And I even just see like some of our peers, like, I mean, September is obviously wedding like month. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, how are these people affording weddings and just like, I don't know. It's just like, it is just like, okay, there's people that are struggling, but there's also people that are not, that are like,
no, not at all.
Yeah. And that are like doing, you know, have their jobs.
And I guess that makes me feel better knowing that. Cause I'm like, okay, that can be me. Like, you know, it's like, it's not like we're in a desolate time where there's like a, you know, in my mind, sometimes I'm like, it's not like we're in like The Last of Us. There's Tumbly going down the like street, and like, you know, there's no jobs.
Right,
like,
right,
it makes
right.
me feel good knowing like, no, like there are people who have stable jobs, and like, that's good because that means I can get one, you know?
Yeah. And that's like, that was kind of like why when we were on the phone earlier this week, I was like, I kind of wish that I took a more traditional route, or just like had a job that like I should have, you know, followed my childhood dream of like becoming a dentist. Like, and I was just like, that would have been
stable
as well. Like, I would have just been able to do my work, you know, maybe have some projects on the side or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish, sometimes I wish like if I was to do it again, I would have done something more just, I guess it's stable. Like, I feel like my career thus far has been, I don't know, I just feel like marketing is nebulous sometimes. I don't even know if that's like the right word, but like, I don't even understand it sometimes. It's just like, okay, like there's like a whole department, and I know that it's important and it can make a lot of money, but it does just feel like I've never, I don't know, maybe I didn't go to enough like conventions on like how to climb this ladder, or like, I don't know. I also didn't dream of being a corporate girly. Like, you know, like that was my dream, was to like be creative and somehow something would take off or whatever.
And so, no, that's real. That's real.
And I feel like I'm just still discovering like what my thing will be. But
It's like, I think I think the same way. Like literally there's this TikToker that I like love, and she's this Black girl, and she's like really successful TikToker, but it's crazy because I feel like I've been watching her for a while, where I've kind of seen her like be like just your normal, you know, that she had a job, you know, a normal job, and then all of a sudden like blasted, and this is her full-time job now. And it's like she's like moving to different apartments whenever she feels like it. She just bought a house upstate too. It's not like a mansion, but she's renovating it, and she has enough money to get like to make it the dream home she wants to make because she's renovating the whole fucking thing. And and she just bought a car, and she's like, right, you know, and I'm just like, and I'm just like, there are like, I mean, I'm, you know, she's blessed and I'm happy for her, you know, but it's like, damn, like there are people living like that. And then there's like unemployed people, you know, like then there's people that are like, I need a job. And like, it's interesting too, because the Department of Labor for New York is like throwing a career, a job fair or whatever. And, you know, I'm not too proud. Like, I'll go to any fair that people allow me to go. So I registered and I was like looking at the businesses that were there, and it just like struck me as like, it'll be interesting to see how these businesses perceive me and take me, because it's very clear that like they're marketing this for like unemployed people who want to be like cashiers, you know, who like want to just get a job as like a receptionist. It's like they're about to be like, oh, we have a person with a PhD in here who's like actually looking for like, you know, six-figure salary. Like, do we have businesses that can accommodate her? You know, it's like, am I wasting my time? And like, and so, yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting, but I mean, I'm trying to remain hopeful, and not resentful, because I'm like, my time will come. I will have the house.
I feel like once you get like the job that you took coming out, it was never going to be a long-term thing, you know, and the company was not And yeah, it wasn't like a company that was going to be that like job that paid you the amount. Like, you know, it was just something to take and
get your
resume. And so now you have. And so, yeah, I feel confident about your journey, where it's just like you will get the job and that'll, I feel like you'll be blasted off and be fine. I feel like I sometimes still just feel a little bit like, I feel like mine just still is, I mean, yes, like I'll get another good paying job, but I just feel like, I don't know. You know, I have just other stuff, like I'm doing this yoga teacher training, like I'm hoping to make money with that when I'm done with it. It's just like, I don't know. I'm scared. I'm scared about my future.
No.
But
we have to, like, I have it, like, my goals written right here, my three. Like, we have to, like, write it down. We have to say it every day. Like, I say the job thing every day, like, my mantra for the job. Every night I say it. We have to, like, you know, repeat the things we want, like, really manifest, really believe it. Like, even when we have doubt, we have to talk to someone who's going to put us back on the chart believing. You will absolutely find the job you want. You will absolutely do be able to do everything you want to do. But it does take effort and discipline. And so you need to start applying. My goal, maybe, like, start with a goal of, like, one a day. I feel like my career coach told me, like, you should do 80%. 80% is networking, 20% is cold applying. So like for me, I do 3 applications a day and 8, and then the rest of the time I'm messaging people to set up talks on Zoom or talking to people on Zoom. So maybe for you, you do like 1 application a day and 2 messages a day, you know? But we'll get this. But yes, it's just, I guess what we're saying is we're feeling down, depressed a little, but we're not claiming that because we're going to be okay.
I'm trying not to.
I know. Julia thinks I have problems because she's like, I think you might be depressed. I'm like, I'm not claiming that. And she's like, okay, but I'm not claiming it.
Yeah, don't claim it. I mean, yeah, you're getting up and you're doing it. Like, I think you're having normal, natural feelings, but definitely don't identify with that too much. Like, you need to definitely remind yourself, like, there are so many people that are in your exact, like, sadly, there is like, this is the time we're in where there's a lot of people that are in that position and the job for you is out there. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Let's move on. So who's on trial today, my friend? Well, let's get to it. Who's on trial?
Our good friend Wendy Osefo and her husband Eddie Osefo are on trial. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about the Real Housewives of Potomac in a while, and last week there was a story that broke that Wendy and Eddie were arrested on like fraud charges. Is that
let's talk exactly what happened. I can read it for you if you'd like.
Yes, please go for it.
Okay, here we go. Okay, Real Housewives of Potomac star Wendy Osefo and her husband Eddie Osefo have been arrested for allegedly committing fraud. The couple arrested on Thursday, October 9th in Maryland for allegedly falsely reporting a burglary and theft. The arrest stems from April 2024 when the couple reported burglary and theft. So for those who do watch, I'll continue, but I just wanted to say for those who do watch Potomac, y'all remember when Wendy made a story, like, you know, that was part of a little bit of her storyline, and she talked a little bit about it, that like her house was broken into and, you know, there was a theft, and that was really alarming. So the couple reportedly had just returned from their vacation when they found out that their home had been burglarized. The two individuals informed the authorities that more than $200,000 worth of belongings had been stolen, including jewelry, luxury goods, clothing, and shoes. Once an investigation was launched, detectives had found incriminating evidence. For example, the sheriff's office reported that the Osefos returned approximately $20,000 worth of stolen items to the store where they had purchased them. Additionally, the couple is accused of filing three separate insurance claims, claiming that $450,000 worth of goods have been stolen. Wendy Osefo, she's 41, was arrested on 16 counts, while her partner, Eddie, was faced with 18. Both were released on bail. And so basically, what we're seeing here is that they basically made reports that a lot of money had been stolen, but then with evidence, this is all alleged, with evidence, they found that she actually had those possessions. They weren't stolen. She had them on her person and was returning that to the store. And then, or also putting in different insurance claims for different amounts of money that were more than the $200,000 she reported. This is all alleged, right? But it's looking like fraud. There's also been some videos and pictures of Wendy wearing some of the jewelry that she reported stolen after she reported it stolen. So there's a lot of incriminating evidence. I am shocked. This is all alleged.
Oh my god, yes. I'm very shocked. If this is true, I am just disappointed. Sadly, like, I just think about the kids, obviously. I think about just all the stuff that Wendy be talking on the show. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely think, I mean, this might just be the sinister in me, but I think somebody definitely kind of set her up for this headline. Like, this was during the first week of the it was the first week after the premiere of this new season. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy, like, now we have to watch, now we're going to watch this whole season with this in mind of like, mm-hmm. Looking at Wendy sideways a little bit. Mm-hmm. As she and questions other people about lying, right. And
but also Wendy's whole brand is that she is like, you know, has more education and more just maturity than them, like, right? Like, she, you know, she's a doctor, she has her PhD, she you know, I feel like she carries herself as with a different level of like maturity and tact. So it's interesting that like she also was allegedly doing the same fucking games that everybody else does on this show. But I think you're absolutely right when you have made a really good point where you were like keeping up with the Joneses, and it's like, right, like that will, when you're constantly chasing this like bar of wealth of like the Beverly Hills girlies, and you want to seem like you have the most money out of all of the Potomac ladies and the New Jersey, you know, it can get you to a point where you're, it's a fast moving train and you're just now can't keep up.
I know, that's just like, come on now, y'all, like felonies, like, I just am like, this is, you gotta just think about the kids. Like, they rather have their parents there than to, you know, than to have to downsize a little bit. And
Her kids are younger. They're not like 15, you know? Yeah. Like,
and that's why I was like, you know, it is probably keeping up with the Joneses. It is probably like, you know, the schools that they're going to are probably very expensive. Mm-hmm, and like, they are at the beginning of stuff. And
that's a really good point.
But yeah, it just makes me sad. It's just like, really, Wendy? Like, literally, she is grilling this girl on the show about, like, trying to do her own cannabis line, like, trying to copy Cappy Eddie. And it's just, like, that is so immature. It's just, like, we all can win. Like, if you were really about it, you'd be like, yeah, like, let me, support you.
What goes through someone's head? I always think about that. What goes through someone's head, especially someone, I mean, I don't know if she has a mental illness, but it's, like, we're talking about somebody who, like, seems level-headed and, you know, normal, where it's like, well, it's like, okay, let's inflate this burglary. Like, once the burglary happens, if it did happen,
I mean, they literally said that, like, the house was ransacked, but no, there was no sign of forced entry. They called the police. There was nothing on the alarm system.
Like, so let's say this was, but let's give them a benefit of the doubt, say it was real. What makes someone then, like, sit with your partner and go, let's lie about the money? Like, I just feel like that's insane. Let's lie to the police. Let's take about all these insurances. Like, I would, like, that's just crazy. And then to go, and then if it's not real, to be like, let's stage a burglary. Julia would look at me like I'm crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to know what's going through someone's head and the partners to agree to that.
I don't know. It must be something that, one, you've heard done before, maybe. Like, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
you've seen it done. Like, I don't know, though. I especially between two people. It's one thing if you know, you're at your own devices and, you know, it's like only your decision making. But for it to be both your parents, like, making this decision, allegedly, it's like, that is, and it just sucks. Like, I just am sad because we were all rooting for Wendy. Like, she has just, like, this beautiful family. And, you know, I was just happy to see them doing well. And the kids are happy. And, you know, it seemed like they were happy. Like,
a healthy, like, stable healthy marriage. Yeah.
Yeah, and they were stable between them. And, like, and
she's the only true, like, housewife.
Or, yeah, it's just, like, you know, smart, educated. Like, they can't.
Dark skin, beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they can't take all of that. Like, it felt like they can't take all this stuff away from her. Like, no matter how much they feel like she gets on their nerves or whatever, it was just, like, she had that. And so it just sucks for it to be like this. Like, I was definitely saying, like, Robin and Giselle are having a field day.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they immediately were like, we're going to the mic, like, you know, to talk about this. It's like, get over yourself. Podcast? They do. What is it called? It's Shady or something like that. Reasonably Shady. Oh my gosh. I meant to tell you this because I meant to see what you thought about this, because this morning I had, like, woken up and I had saw, I don't know why I'm getting this on my page, because I do not follow Taylor Swift, but I, like, got a Taylor Swift tweet, and I was just like, I read Julia the tweet, and Julia was like, she is going to go down as the world's biggest grifter. Okay, so this is what it said. It was like, I just saw, like, a video. I'll show you here. It's a Disney Plus behind it. I'm like, what a shame. She's releasing the Eras Tour, the final show featuring the entire Torture Poets Department set and the first two episodes of the end of an era, a 6-episode behind the scenes docuseries will be yours December 12th on Disney Plus. And I'm just like, I sent you that thing where it's like, she dropped already like 35 variants of the album within a week. Now it's like a Disney Plus drop. I'm like, I have never seen someone work this hard to be, like, relevant or chase a chart number. Like, Beyonce, and I'm also like, this is not gonna at all come close, I'm sure, to the behind the scenes of Renaissance shit. But regardless, who cares about that? Regardless, Beyonce just, like, no other art, not even just Beyonce, Adele, Lady Gaga, like, all the other ones that I would say are up on that bar, I have never seen them like a chase a chart like this. Like, this is honestly on a different level, like, to be honest.
Definitely. There is 30 something variants. I've literally seen some of her fans like putting, you know, showing each album that they got. She's selling voice memos that sound crazy. It's like, you're like, the level of grift is insane. And also just like, I don't know, just it will, like, the record will show what I feel like in history it will be like, this girl, like, sure, she could sell all this stuff, but it was because she was selling 31 of the, like, it's not like
somebody, like, one in each color.
Yeah, somebody made a good point. Just like, you know, Lemonade was the best album.
Rolling Stone said it was the best album of the 21st century. I was like, and it was, yes. That's my favorite Beyonce album.
Like, it was one album, no variants. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, no variants. That wasn't even sold on.
It was on Tidal, right?
You know, so it's just like, and like, a girl that I follow on TikTok made a good point. It's just like, in the circle that Taylor wants to be really respected in, like the Grammys and stuff, the real musicians, it doesn't, it's very apparent to them. Like, I remember when she announced her album and like,
oh my God, Olivia Rodrigo's face was like,
I know, that was her face. I didn't even know who she was like that then. But yes, like, that was her face. And like, the whole audience, it wasn't like everybody erupted.
It wasn't a gag.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like if it was Beyonce did that, or how Beyonce, like, you know, in the, at every Grammys between the commercials, everybody's lined up at her tables. Like,
That's a good point.
It doesn't, and that was what the girl said. It's just like, it doesn't reflect in real life, doesn't translate, and people know who she is. Like, people, there's people that can see the grift, and I think even more so now, there's Taylor Swift fans that are waking up and
what do you think is the argument for Swifties to say, because like, I feel like sometimes they try to like say that like, she's the most popular pop star in America, she's the number one, whatever. What would be their comeback to, why aren't people lining up to greet her at events, like, during the commercial breaks? Like, I feel like, I mean, unless I'm wrong, I have never seen, you know, the images of people lining up to, at, like, Taylor's table to say hi and get a picture. What is the comeback? Is it that, like, she's not as old as Beyonce or something?
It's just that she's not, I mean, I don't know what these people would say. But I don't know, maybe Taylor's more relatable. Like, she's just a part of the crowd. Like, she doesn't want that type of attention. Like, you know, these people are delusional. Like, so they will
fit. Or like, she comes out, so it's like, people can interact with her more. Beyonce, like, stays hidden unless she wants to be seen, type thing.
Yeah, if they even pick up on Beyonce's behavior like that. Like, they are so centered in what this girl is doing. It's, I mean, honestly, I feel like stan culture is not logical sometimes. So
that's real. That's
especially
real.
Especially depending on who they're talking about. But in every stan community, I feel like there are people that have this, like you said, parasocial relationship where it's just like, you don't know this person. You don't know their character. You try to explain away their behavior and justify their behavior, even if it is glaringly pointing to something. It's just like, you can't talk to them about certain stuff. So
it's interesting, she was talking about her team being very close to Jay-Z's team, and like, he's reached out a couple times being like, how do you feel about the Super Bowl? I'm like, I would not want her as a Super Bowl, but we can.
Yeah, I mean, me either, but that.
It is what it is.
It'll happen. And my thing now, I was just like, I just want to watch in fascination. Like, I'm just like, this is embarrassing, honestly, like, to me.
Well, you saw the merch I sent you. Did you see it? I sent you the merch.
I did. But whatever.
Sequins are forever. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just am over it. Like, I think everybody has been talking, like, you know, a lot of people's takes are good. And
what you want to talk about?
We feel like we moved on from Wendy really fast, but.
Oh, go ahead. Keep telling us your thoughts on Wendy.
I mean, I don't really know where we left off. I'm just disappointed. I'm just like, this sucks. Like,
but also, what is up with this pipeline of jail? Like, I feel like a lot of housewives end up in jail. What do you think that's about?
I think some of it's definitely the keeping up with the Joneses. I think, like, what's her name that's in jail right now?
Jen Shaw.
Yes, like, I feel like that was the keeping up with the Joneses thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who else went to jail? I mean, Erica's husband, she didn't go to jail, but, like, you know, criminal stuff, keeping up with the Joneses. Anybody else? Like,
But I mean, I would say this, like, I mean, I feel like half of it is always fraud. Like, I feel like, what did Teresa Giudice do? Was it fraud? What did Karen do? Was it fraud?
No, Karen was.
Oh, her. DUI.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's like, I wonder if, like, part of that pipeline is because Andy really isn't getting people that are, like, rich, luxurious housewives. Like, I remember watching.
It was fraud for.
Like, I remember watching Real Housewives of Orange County. Like, early 2000s. And, like, these women did not have to start personal businesses, open up stores. Like, they were just rich and drinking lemonade on their patio. You know what I'm saying? Their houses were the size of apartment buildings. You know, it's like, I feel like with these other franchises, unfortunately, he hasn't been able to hit that level of wealth, except maybe at Beverly Hills. And so the people he has are rich people, but they're rich people by working, you know, by, like, hustling. Like, the Real Housewives check is their, like, main income, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that, unfortunately, possibly creates a toxic environment of, like, what are you wearing? Are you wearing Gucci? Are you wearing, you know, you want to show that you have money. You want to show that money's not an issue. You don't want to be broke. So you end up, like,
I mean, that's a doing huge topic on the show. Like, there's literally a clip of Ashley talking about, I think she was talking about Robin, where she's like,
Ashley can't tell me,
like,
shit.
$5 in her account. Like, you know, like, it is a,
I mean, at one point Robin was in a townhouse in Baltimore. Like, that is not, I'm shocked she still had her fucking flume, champagne flume off of that flute. Yes, after that, because that is insane.
Yeah,
there should be a certain level of tax bracket, but I feel like, so you, that's why I need to send you these TikToks.
I mean, it's
because
it's definitely a recession indicator. There's not many people,
but
that
also
live like that.
But also there is, but they don't want to be on the show. Like, that's why I need to send you the TikTokers
they
that I follow
don't need
that are
the money
that I follow for stay at home mothers in the Upper East Side, because a lot of them have been asked to be on Roni, mm-hmm, and declined, and, like, they talk about the stories and they're like, the actual wealthy people in New York who make millions and millions and they can just sit at home, this is an embarrassing thing to be a part of, you know?
Why? I mean, it makes sense. Like, I mean, you think about when it comes to literally the 1%, like, we don't see them out here flossing.
Getting in fights. Like,
yeah, or having to be on TV and showing up and talking to anybody. Like, they don't have to do. This has definitely become, like, a check for a lot of people.
Like, this is their main income. And yeah. So I feel like, one way to improve that is, like, there should be a income level. It's like your net worth has to be 10 million or more.
I don't know. I feel like the Housewives franchises are getting, I kind of feel like we're starting to age out of them, or they're starting to just get older. Like, I don't even know if people are invested in, like, if they would be invested into, like, a whole new group of women. Like, I don't know. But just, like, watching, like, have you been watching any Housewives lately? Like, did you watch Atlanta? Did you watch Potomac? Like, it's just, like, yeah. I kind of feel like it is.
I feel like they need to go back to the original roots. And like, the funny part about the drama in the original roots was because it was like, these ladies have nothing to do because they have so much money that they're getting in like stupid catty fights. But now it's like, you're planting stories to blogs. Like, you know, it's like you're doing things because this is your main check, so you need a storyline. And that, to me, is where I'm like, it's not interesting. I did want to ask you something,
yeah,
though.
Petty fights, too. It's just like, this is so stupid.
I did want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know how Rolling Stone announced that Beyoncé's album, Lemonade, was the best album, the greatest album of the 21st century?
Mm-hmm.
That is my favorite Beyoncé album. What do you think about Lemonade separates it apart from, like, the other albums? Because I agree. Like, it's funny because I feel like some people say, like, Renaissance, but I'm like, no. I think Lemonade, like, stands alone in, like, they said the century. Like, Lemonade to me was a distinct moment of, like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Like, you've outdone yourself, and I don't know if you could ever hit this again. What do you think that was?
I mean, there was a level of vulnerability that we never gotten from Beyoncé before. I feel like, you know, like, it was, all this shit shocked the world. Like, you know, it was very, even just, like, the name, I feel like, is very, like, different from all the other
stuff. That's true. That's true.
Like,
that's
it was
true.
Just, like, a statement on its own. And it was very personal and very, like, it was very shocking. And, like, obviously the music is good, like, you know, like, great, like, it's great music, as well as the subject matter being very, like, deep and, you know, about real pain and real, like, all the way back through her, you know, ancestors and her dad, and, like, this just being a,
it was deep,
generational thing that she's trying to break. And
I feel like this was the first Beyoncé piece that was actually, like, once you said vulnerable, like, the whole album was vulnerable, but two was, like, intellectual. It's clear she did some history into, like, her family tree, into, like, New Orleans and the aesthetics of it. Like, to me, it was the first time where I was like, this could be someone's dissertation, like a visual dissertation. Mm-hmm. When I feel like the other albums were good, but they weren't like, I don't know the word.
Like a dissertation. It wasn't like a, like something that you could submit that had a beginning and then
And I also feel like Lemonade was really powerful for all the reasons you said, but also because it was speaking to all the frenzy. Like, I feel like, you know, the context behind it, the elevator, there's reports that they're not sleeping together on the run, and, like, everyone just thinks their marriage is going down in drains. And then she kind of speaks to it. Like, I feel like Beyoncé is a person who normally ignores half of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, like, speaking to, like, oh, yeah, we have to address the elephant in the room. We actually did have a terrible marriage at one point. You know, he did cheat on me. Like, I hated him. I took the baby and left.
Yes.
You know?
And I think that it was very, I think if this was also, now that I'm thinking about it, like, maybe the first time we saw Beyoncé, like, not all glammed up. Like, it felt like it was art. Like, I remember seeing, like, 16 or maybe,
6 and Chills? What you talking about?
I'm like, maybe it was 6 and Chills. But there was, like, a part where it was, like, the camera was, like, she looked scary. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, white. Her eyes were, like, red or something. And it was, like, and, like, even the way that it opens up, the visual albums, like, she had no makeup on and her sweat. And, like,
she was in a cap. I mean, head wrap.
Yeah, like, the sweatshirt in the field.
The hoodie.
And, like, you know, wiping her tears and just not looking very stripped down.
Yes.
Like, so it was, like, you took that risk to make art and not.
And I feel like, I think that's a really good point, Samantha. And I also feel like it was the first time that, like, you know, normally Beyoncé, the energy she gives us is like, you know, I'm one of one, I'm number one, I'm the only one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I feel like it was the first time she gave us, like, you know, like, I'm insecure because of what you're doing. You know, am I not, like, pretty enough? Like, you know, if I wasn't B, would you still feel me? Like, I'm like, I feel like it's the first time I was like,
I'd rather be jealous. Or wait, is that album?
Like, yeah, hold up. It's like, I'd rather be crazy.
Oh, yeah,
like, she was like, I mean, it was the first time I feel like she showed us she was kind of human.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's not putting on like, you know, that's my husband. I love him. We're great. We're partners. Like
it was a step in a very, I feel like it was a big risk to be so vulnerable.
But it's interesting because many people make songs about breakups. Many people make songs about heartache. Why is this one different?
Because we just know all the, like, you know, first of all, they have such an image. They have been such a, you know, they were such like the power couple for so long. I mean, so much of Beyonce's lore from Crazy in Love has been just like Jay-Z as like a compliment to it. Like, oh, are they, aren't they, whatever. Like, you know, she's just, Beyonce has always just been like, love, and you know, I just want like
pure... love addict.
I'm just like, you know, I'm the Virgin Mary, and you know, I, this is pure, and
I'd rather die young. Yes,
I mean, even just like I think about like, I am Sasha Fierce, like Beyonce always just wore like a wedding dress,
yeah,
just like she just very much like believed in that. You know, happily ever after, and like, this is
putting on the face for the two family parent home, and like putting on the face of like the black suburban like picket fence family,
and like, yes, real love, and I'm down for him, he's down for
I feel like it, I don't know, like that's a really good, I'm glad you put that into words, because I feel like something about that album just like resonated and hit me like, I like, that is my favorite Beyonce album. And I'm like, what, why? Because Renaissance was amazing. Cowboy Carter is also a dissertation, and same with Renaissance. But I feel like we've just never seen her be so open. And I'm, and that's why I would just love to have been a fly on the wall during the process when she was like, I have to write this down. Like, I have to sing about it. And what she was thinking, how we were going to receive it, and also like what he was thinking, because I'm sure he knew she was writing it the whole time, you know?
He said, and it was like very awkward the first time he heard the song.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I feel like
I don't know. I don't remember what I was going to say, but
yeah, I definitely think that was a clear distinction part of like her career, but I remember watching that and be like, is Beyonce divorcing Jay-Z? Like, everybody all looked at each other and was like, is she announcing her divorce?
No. Right now? Okay.
I'm kind of hoping for it, honestly.
I remember distinctly when we first watched it. It was me, Shahani, Laura on the couch. And I'll just never forget, it was so like, funny. If you play. Yeah, because, I mean, I was
in Milwaukee. I know, it's just like where you were in
that. And it was, like, if you play this shit again, you're going to lose your wife. And I remember looking at Laura May like, ah! And, like, thinking by the end of this, it's going to be, like, a song about, like, I'm single. Like, you know, like, this is the album. Like, this is her announcing her divorce, you know?
Yes, that's what we all thought.
And the devastation I felt when Freedom came on. And then All Night, even though All Night is my favorite song, All Night came on, I was like, fuck.
No, Sandcastles, when that video came on. That,
like, get him off the screen.
It was just like, they're cheek to cheek, and she's holding his head.
Right, girl.
No, I definitely, that was insanely shocking to, and then it was also another element of just like her womanhood. It made so many statements, like visually, I mean, that dress and the bat became a whole thing on its own. Like, it is,
yes, and the braids, the lemonade braids, that like started an era.
Like, I mean, and then the fact that she did have braids on the cover.
That's a good point. Like, we had never seen at that point Beyonce in braids. Like, I mean, like, obviously, in Destiny's Child.
Braids, it was like, oh my God, this is Destiny's Child braids. Like,
we're not getting wig Beyonce. Yes, that's on a really good point.
On a suburban in a garage. Like, this is something different.
What are your favorite, what would you say are your top three favorite songs? This is like an ode to Lemonade. What are your top three favorite songs from Lemonade? I already know mine if you don't know yours.
Yeah, tell yours. I need to look at the track list.
Okay, my number one of all time is All Night. You know how I feel about All Night. All Night, stand up. All Night makes me just feel so good. And like the music, and it makes you just want to be in love. I love All Night. I feel like number two is Love Drought. I fucking love Drought. I could, and when it came out, I played it nonstop. I'm obsessed with the I just love the music. And then I think third would be Don't Hurt Yourself. I love the aggression she gave us with Don't Hurt Yourself. And it's the first time.
Probably my favorites too. Honestly.
Really?
Yes, I love Love You're Out, Love All Night, Love Don't Hurt Yourself. Like that, the fact that she did that on Don't Hurt Yourself,
I know really it's. I'm proud of her too. Let's give her a clap because it's like, I feel like she sometimes doesn't want to embarrass him, but that was the first time I was like, this is embarrassing. Like she threw the wedding ring and said, if you
next
dick boy, right. And said, if you try this shit again, you're going to lose your wife. Like that's embarrassing to say out loud to someone. And then also like, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, I mean, it's just, yeah,
who the fuck do you think I am?
And then like this the visuals for that, like the fire, the drums, the fur coat, like the mouth, and by the end she's screaming like
yes, no, that's
and that's how I felt at that time too.
Yes, and like when she I mean, the visual of her, like, I just never, she just looked crazy. Like, she was like, you know, like,
I smell it. That Louis on that. Wait, what did she say? I smell that fragrance on your Louis nip, boy. Just give my fat ass a big kiss. Well, I'm like, damn.
Tonight I'm fucking up all
y'all. Do you think she did? Do you think she, like, threw out all his stuff and, like, put it on fire? That's how I envision. Like, she heard it and just was, like, running out the house throwing it.
I don't know, man. I hope my girl did. Honestly, she deserves to get a little crazy.
I mean, but that was the first time where I was like, thank you. I do think
she did leave the note in the hallway.
Really? Yes.
By the time you read it, I'll be far away.
That's insane.
I'm far away, but I ain't
thinking about nobody. And just like, and then Serena Williams was in the Sorry video. Like, I just, there were so many just like, oh my God, I have to listen to Lemonade tomorrow.
Isn't it so funny that like, you know, the icons, when they want to like put something on, they bring Serena out. Like,
that's a good point.
It's like, when they want to.
I wonder what that's about.
I know, yeah. She's just saying.
She's an icon.
Yeah, and just the strong woman.
I think she represents a lot. Like, she's from Compton. She's made it successful. She's a dark skinned, like, muscle thick woman.
Yes. She's been through heartbreak. Like,
she's also, I feel like, the symbolism of, like what Black women have to go through to be successful. Like, I feel like there's been so many times where people, they were, like, drug testing her, what, like, over, like, 300 times. Oh. Like, she, she just, I feel like, faced a lot of adversity. And then, like, the beads and, like, in their hair. Yes. And, like, I mean, they represent a... Go ahead, Serena. Actually, that makes sense. Why Serena's on everything.
I know. It's just amazing that that's, like, what... That's who you call when you want to, like, put that extra little stank on it. You call Serena.
Yes. And for me... Sorry, I know we have 55 minutes, right?
Yeah, we need to wrap it up.
Well, thanks, y'all. Well, I was just going to say, their Lemonade to me, this is like an ode to Lemonade. It's my favorite Beyonce album. There's no skips for me. I truly listen to every song. And it just, that was like a special time in my life. Same. And it like brought me through a lot. And so I just wanted to say thank you, Beyonce, for releasing Lemonade. It was great, amazing.
Yes, we love you, B. We needed that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, love Lemonade. I love to watch it. Like, I will always like open it up and watch it. But yeah, it's like, that shit hits different as we get older and have more experiences. But anyways, let's wrap it up. Yes, thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys email us, whoamitojudgepod@gmail.com. You can donate to us, Cash App in the bio. And yeah, we'll be back next week. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember to email us your discussion topics at whoamitojudgepod@gmail.com. Also, remember to subscribe to Who Am I to Judge podcast on Spotify and everywhere you get your podcast. If you love us, please rate us and review. And if you don't, leave us alone. Tell a friend to tell a friend. See y'all next week. Bye, friends.